Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8. We're going to study about life's ransom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8, "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. When we talk about the ransom of a man's life, and say that his ransom are his riches, or his riches are his ransom, I mean, if you wanted to say it another way, then we need to concern ourselves with the practical, that is, money in your pocket, riches, and the spiritual. Spiritually, the ransom of our lives is Jesus Christ. And look at the passages of Scripture and understand the relationship. For instance, when we speak about my ransom or your ransom being the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize the riches of that ransom, then look at these passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." All right. The riches then of our ransom, the riches of our life, being Jesus Christ, would be riches that exceed the wealth of the universe, because he laid down his life. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich. He gave it all up to become poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Notice that that wealth of the ransom exceeds the wealth of gold and silver. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So the wealth, the riches of our ransom would be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ransom of a man's life would be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, as far as wealth is concerned, is of way more value than corruptible silver and gold. See? So spiritually speaking, when we think in terms of this verse, our greatest ransom is Jesus Christ. Look again in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 4. Speaking of God our Savior in the context, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's 1 Timothy 2:4. Now look at verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So the blood of Jesus Christ is a ransom paid for our salvation, and it is so valuable that every person that comes to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is ransomed by the same blood, and it is inexhaustible and eternally, they say, efficacious, which means it works for you today just like it did for Paul nearly 2,000 years ago. The ransom of our lives, spiritually speaking, is Jesus Christ, and that ransom is rich. It's far greater than the value of silver and gold. It cost Jesus Christ all of his riches, and it cost him his blood. Look in Psalm 49, verses 6 through 9. Psalm 49, verses 6 through 9. You need the ransom of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no amount of money in the earth that will pay your ransom to get you by the judgment of God. Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49, verse 6 says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. You know what he says here in the psalm? He says, you can have all the money you want. No need to boast yourself in the multitude of your riches, because you can't buy the ransom for anybody, your own soul or anybody else's soul, because their redemption is precious. You can't pay to get them past death, that they should still live forever and not see corruption. You can't do that. You can buy them a nice grave plot, but you can't get them to a place where their body won't corrupt when it dies. It's impossible. So when we speak here about the ransom of man's life, then we need to recognize, spiritually speaking, the ransom of man's life is Jesus Christ, and that is my wealth. You see, I don't have to have another dime ever a day in my life. When I die, I'm going to make it to heaven, because I've been ransomed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That is the spiritual side of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8. Now I want to ask you something before we move on to the practical side, the spiritual side. Knowing what you've just heard to be true, because there it is in the Bible, Jesus made himself poor that you might be rich through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and be guaranteed a home in heaven. Why have you not trusted him? That's the question. Why have you not trusted him? Well, are you like the rich young fool in Luke chapter 18 who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Sir, what must I do to have eternal life? Good master, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord told him. And when the young man found out that it was going to cost him some money, and Jesus didn't say, give it to me, he said, give it to the poor. When he found out that it was going to cost him some money, that young man was trusting in his riches, and he could not envision trusting Christ to take care of his needs without his own personal finances. He just couldn't see it. He said, I tell you, this whole world is going to think I'm a fool if I get rid of my riches and trust the Lord to take care of me. I'm not going to do it. And he walked away, sorrowful. And the Lord was sorry too, because he loved him. But that young man wound up in hell because he would not trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Why wouldn't he? Because he was hung on his riches. He thought that somehow or another, by hanging on to his riches, he could ransom his own soul. And that leads us into the practical side of this discussion, because you may be the same kind of person. Let me tell you something. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. Practically speaking, riches will get a man out of pretty near every jam on this earth. And when a man knows that, he's going to start counting on those riches to get him out of every jam. And they won't get him out of every jam, only pretty near. Not every, but pretty near every. Watch. When a man has wealth and his son gets kidnapped, the man has money to pay off the kidnapper. He can work up and get the ransom for the kidnapper to let his son go. All right, practically speaking, a man can, and I'm not saying this is right, but a man can bribe a prison guard and get himself or somebody else out of prison. That happens. If you'll remember back to World War II, when some of the Jews were imprisoned in concentration camps, places like Auschwitz, you know what they did? They bribed the guards. They gave them gold. They gave them silver. Maybe the gold was on their teeth, whatever, but they gave it to them in order to be able to have a little more food and in order to be able to be spared from the gas chambers. And some of them survived as a result of that. And you can't blame them. Their riches were a ransom for them. The ransom of that man's life was his riches. All right, people have done this. I'm not saying it's right, but with wealth, they can pay off a judge for the release of a son. That's right. Come to a conviction, supposed to spend a little time in jail, decide you don't want to do it, make a payoff. There are people that have done that before. Look in Job chapter 2, verse 4, the master of all of this. The devil himself understands perfectly well what a man will do to buy himself a little more time. Job chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Well, there you go. All that a man hath will he give for his life. That's his ransom. Whatever he has, he'd sell his house, sell his car, sell his plane, sell his boat, sell his wife. Sell anything. Sell his land, sell his cattle, anything to be able to get another day for his life, you see. A rich man who's got a lot of wealth, when he finds out that he's sick, can afford the very best doctors. He can afford the very best hospital rooms. I know a fella. And what he did was very simple. He got he ended up with some sort of a intestinal disorder, lung disorder, something like that. And he went to a hospital in Houston. I think it was in the Methodist hospital. I went up to see him. And you know what? He had a private room in a hospital in Houston. You say, well, that's no big deal. There are other people with money that get private rooms in the hospital. Yes, but I'll tell you, he went one notch above that. He had a private room in the hospital and an adjoining room next door. In other words, you could get to it from the hospital room. In an adjoining room next to him was a suite, just like a hotel. It had a sofa, had a nice bed in it, had a television, had a love seat, hors d'oeuvres, all these other kind of things. And his wife could sit in there and also greet guests that came to see him in that suite and then go through the passage door into the hospital room to see her husband. Now, you talk about that inside of a hospital is going first class, my friend. When you got plenty of money, you can afford the best hospital rooms with adjoining suites. I've only seen that one other time. I mean, I've only seen that one time in my entire life. And I've been to hospitals many, many times. You got the money, you can afford that kind of treatment. If you've got a lot of money, you can afford private insurance. You don't have to worry about Medicare and Medicaid. You can pay to have other kinds of insurance and make sure that all of your financial medical needs are met with the very best care. With riches, you can afford a comfortable home. With riches, you can afford a car that works all the time. And if you're concerned that it won't work, you can always afford the second car as well, so that if the first one doesn't work, you've got one to drive around, and it's luxurious too, like the first one, so that people don't think that you're driving a wreck. When you've got money, you can afford the right lawyers. And you may need them if you have a lot of money in order to protect that money for estate planning, against lawsuits and other types of claims of negligence and so forth. A man that has money can buy business clientele and politicians so that if he needs legislation enacted to assist him in his business, or if he needs a certain kind of clientele, then he can use that money to attract that kind of clientele and to get those kinds of politicians that will make decisions that are favorable to him and to his business. And that's why the Bible says the ransom of a man's life are his riches. If he's got plenty of money, he can get himself out of pretty near every jam. And I just named a few. You know, we could go on and on in the list. And that's why people want money, because they want to be able to have the freedom to go where they want to go, to do what they want to do, and not have to worry about paying for it. In other words, they have to pay for it, but they don't want to have to worry about paying for it. They want lots of disposable income. But you know what Rudyard Kipling said one time? Rudyard Kipling said to some college students one time, "Someday you will meet a man who cares for none of these things, and then you will know how poor you are." Because the accumulation of those possessions is not the measure of a man's life. That's what Jesus Christ said. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of those things which he possesseth. And that's the Lord's statement on it. Now, because the poor see how the rich live, they think that the answer to all of their problems is money. the riches, the ransom of a man's life or his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. So a poor man says, if I could just get my hands on some of that money, I would be all right. So he steals. What is the rebuke? The rebuke is, thou shalt not steal. A poor man says, if I can just go up there and beg for that money and talk him into it with whatever story, I'm justified. I can lie to him if I want to. I'm justified. He's got more money than he knows what to do with, and I don't have to tell him the truth. I just need to get my hands on some of that money, and that'll take care of my needs. There's a rebuke in that. Why? Because the money won't solve his problems. I've seen it. I've watched it for years now, being in the ministry. Folks that don't have any money will come around looking for money. And I heard one preacher say something one time. It's funny. He said people would call him at the office and they'd say, do you have some money to help me pay my light bill? Can you give me some money to help me pay my light bill? And the preacher said, well, we got light bills to pay too. It's funny that you would call a church that depends upon the offerings of other people to pay its own light bills, that the church would then turn around to pay your light bill. He says to the guy, he says, if anybody needs to be given any money around here to anybody, you need to be giving me some. And, you know, the guy hangs up. But I've watched it. They come around churches looking for money, but they're not looking for the Lord. And they won't hear the rebuke. What's the rebuke? What they need more than anything in this world is a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But they won't hear it. You know what they want? They just want the provision they see the Lord giving to his children. That's what they want, but they don't want any commitment to the Lord. They don't want any relationship with the Lord. Their concerns are not with heaven and hell. I have yet to meet a man or a woman who comes around asking for money that doesn't proclaim to be saved. They've all heard the gospel, but most of them have rejected the gospel and chosen to live a life in rebellion to the Lord, and then they expect God's people to pay for that life of rebellion. And I'm telling you, they'll cook up any kind of story that you ever want to hear in order to get a hold of your money. I mean, they'll talk about needing it for prescriptions, they'll need it for doctors, they'll need it for a sick relative that's in the hospital. They'll need it to get a bus ticket so they can go to another city to get a job. They'll need it to go to a grandmother's funeral. They'll need it to buy any kind of thing. And I mean, if you follow them, if you track them down, if you trace them, you know what? They're spending it on the street to buy drugs and alcohol. Or perhaps in some cases they might buy a little bit of food with it, but they are looking for an opportunity to spend your money that they've obtained under false pretenses in order to buy themselves some more drugs or more alcohol or sex. What's the problem? The poor heareth not rebuke. They won't hear it. They believe, honestly, that the money is the answer to all of their problems. Communism sold itself in communist countries that way. And I'm telling you, they ended up with more drunks in communist countries than they did in any other part of the world. It didn't solve anything. It fell apart. Now listen, money does not solve all the problems. It is a ransom for a man's life when he's got enough of it to buy his way out of problems. But I've watched it over and over and over and over again. God's people, by following the wisdom of God Almighty and by prayerful consideration, can come out of just as many, if not more, jams than rich people can. Because God will open doors and make ways for them to get the help they need apart from the lack of money. That's why the widow with two mites spent the money that she did at the treasury. She gave all of her living because she had come to a place where she could trust God with her necessities and knew that God would take care of them. There was a widow approached by Elijah. And Elijah told her to feed him, and she only had enough food for her and her son to have one more meal. But instead, she decided to follow the Lord's command, and she went ahead and fed Elijah. And you know something? She had enough food as a result of doing that to take care of her and her son and Elijah until it started raining again. Now, let me tell you something. While money will take care of a lot of your problems down here, it won't take care of all of them. For one thing, you cannot buy your way out of death, and you cannot buy your way past the judgment of God with money. Nobody's ever been able to do it, and you won't be the first. I don't care if you had enough money to buy the entire universe. You could not pay anybody that money and get by death. Death is coming your way. You can't stop it. You might make it more comfortable. You can't stop it. There's no way you can stop it. It's impossible. You can't buy your way out of death, and you can't buy your way past the judgment of God. God Almighty will not accept any ransom for your soul. None. There's no amount of money that you can spend with God Almighty where He will pay you or accept your money to get by the judgment. The only thing that will allow you to get by the judgment of God is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't have to have a dime to get that. You do not have to have a dime to get by that. Because trusting the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take money. Not a dime, not a nickel, not a penny. There's nothing you pay for eternal life. A poor man that understands this is light years ahead of a rich man who doesn't. A rich man who has any confidence in his wealth and neglects trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior is worse off than a poor man who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, though he has not two nickels to rub together. So in the light of this verse here, speaking of a ransom in a man's life, if you have riches and you want to use those properly for the Lord and not be trusting them, then here's what you need. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." What did he read there? He said, you didn't bring anything into this earth. You're not going to carry anything out with you when you go. If you've got something to eat and clothes on your back, then be content with that. Because the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to continue with verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He said, you want to make sure that you're taken care of between now and the time that you get to heaven? Then he said the thing to do is distribute that money that God entrusted you with to folks that have need in God's family. And what that'll do is that will lay up in store for you a good foundation against the time to come, and that you may lay hold on eternal life. The best insurance policy for the future against the inability to pay for future trouble is to take care of responsibilities toward the Lord now. And that is what will protect you better than if you had millions of dollars in the bank. All right, now what have we looked at here today? In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 8, the first thing we looked at was the spiritual context of ransom, a ransom which are riches. And we found that the greatest ransom, the only ransom acceptable to God in the entire universe, is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which far exceeds silver and gold, which is acceptable to God, and which is a consequence of the fact that Jesus Christ willingly became poor that you might be through him a rich man or a rich woman. So we saw that first. That's the spiritual side of it. But the practical side of it is this, that while money will buy you out of most every jam, it will not buy you out of the biggest jam you will ever face in your life, death. It's true with money that you could bribe prison guards and bribe judges and afford the best doctors and be comfortable in your old age and hire the right lawyers and buy the right business clientele and support the best politicians so you can get your policies passed. That's true. It's still true today. You get to do those things that a poor man can't do. But let me tell you something. As far as the world is concerned, you may be considered rich, but as far as God is concerned, you're poor. Because he desires that we trust him, not our wealth. And if you don't have money, God says that the best thing to do is to trust him for your provisions. I've seen it many times. Folks without much money trusting the Lord continuously, and they always had enough to take care of their bills. I saw a fellow one time who had a 14-room house in River Oaks in Houston. He had a farm outside of town worth millions of dollars, and he'd lived on up into his late 80s. And he had a man that worked for him, drove for him for many, many years, that just lived in a 2-room house. The rich man didn't have any children. The poor man had 4. And he said to the rich man, as they were walking, both of them in their late 80s, he said to him, "You know, it's a strange thing. You've lived in this large house with no children and had this very beautiful farm and all this money and very nice cars. And I've never had a nice car. I've lived in a 2-room house. I raised 4 kids. And here we are, walking together, putting our hands in a sack of Amdro, killing fire ants." They were out at the farm killing fire ants. In other words, and that poor man wisely ascertained the situation. We've come to the same place. You, in spite of your wealth, and me, in spite of my poverty, we're at the same place. We're doing the same thing. Your riches didn't buy you anything to get you past what we're doing now, and my poverty didn't deny me anything to get me to the place where I am now. So keep it in perspective. If you've got a lot of wealth, you're very fortunate to be able to pay off these things, but none of those things will do you any good when you face the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment, because the only ransom that he will accept there is his own shed blood, plus nothing.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. Hallelujah.